Flavors and contrasting flavors, and using one thing to sort of turn up the volume on something else. And we're going to talk about how texture comes in there, and I think what we're doing is sort of creating vocabulary here that will enable us to sort of think a little bit more closely about how we drink and eat things together later. I mean, it's fun. I think the ultimate pairing is putting three great cheeses that tend to do well together, and a whole bunch of booze, and more booze the better, obviously. You know, out at a party at your house, a dinner party, and just having fun. Being, oh man, this really tastes great, or oh, this tastes terrible. That didn't work. like that's the idea, right? We're about having a conversation and being fun. It's not for you to go out and create this again, because this is artificial. We're trying to give you some tools and some understanding to have actual, like, natural fun. Does that make sense? Natural fun.
Thank you.
Okay. It's hard. So, I don't know. Let's get into this. Everybody, if your plate doesn't have the white cheese at 12 o'clock, you're doing wrong. So, okay. That was easy. We're done. This is great. Okay, so let's talk about that cheese. What is unique about it?
I've given you my hint.
Yes! Excellent. It's white. It's white. Wait. Did I, what was that? I heard something else. Actually, you're looking for extra credit.
She made a mozzarella, it's unfair.
Yeah. Ooh. Stay in the corner. Give the other students a chance. Well, you just spoiled my next line. This is terrible. Okay, so. Alright, why is the cheese white? So it's obviously white, right? It's pretty white. That's probably the most notable fact about it, next to the ash bit, which we'll cover, or which we've covered since. And so, yeah, why is it white? Any goat cheese, you said that. Yeah. What does that have to do with it? Who said that now? See, you all know. Yeah, exactly. No beta-carotene. Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Oh, she won up here. That cheese is white. It's a good but not perfect indication that it's a goat cheese. Why? No beta-carotene. Why does it not have any beta-carotene? Because cows are really shit at metabolizing beta-carotene out of their milk. You're terrible at it. Poor. They're poor. And goats are pretty darn good. So they can break down beta-carotene into essential vitamins, and so it doesn't come out in the color of their milk. And I know you're thinking, probably not thinking this, but you might be thinking, well, you talked about grass farmers earlier. I don't see any orange grass. Beta carotene is carrots and orange. You weren't. Well, I'm going to put words in your mouth. There's a lot of beta carotene in grass. There's a lot of beta carotene in natural forage. There are some cheesemakers that will add beta carotene feed, or will buy feed that has beta-carotene added to it. There are cheesemakers that will color their cheese with annatto, which is derived from the achiote plant. It makes the cheese orange. It's like orange, cheddar, annatto. No flavor, just color. But all that beta-carotene, all those anthocyanins, all those color-producing molecules are all going to be in that green grass. You just can't see it. so weak. So the cows are going to eat that up. It's going to come out in the milk. They're not going to digest it. It's not going to get broken down into whatever it's vitamin but goats can process it out. So their milk tends to be super, super white, and that comes through in the sheep's. I know you're thinking, sheep's milk, what about that? How about buffalo? so that's sort of the thing with white goat's milk. Now, it's not 100% rule. There are whey-based cheeses. I'm thinking of ricotta salata. I've never seen that cheese before. What color is it?
White.
Yeah. It's usually cow's milk. That's a whole different ball of wax. So pick it up. I don't believe in forks and knives. I mean, I do with generally speaking.
I know they exist.
I'm not denying their sort of being. But I don't think they have any relevance for what we're doing tonight. Unless your hands are really dirty, pick up your cheese with your hands. I know, we're throwing caution to the wind, people! And I bear no responsibility if you get milk. what do we see? First of all, there's this nice line going through it, right? We can see that on the plate, but we should talk about it. That is ash, not cigarette ash or anything. It's carbonized vegetable ash. It's the same stuff that they would give you. It's the same stuff that's in your Brita, probably. It's the same stuff they would give you if you got really drunk, which don't think your does. And had your stomach pumped, you know, at the hospital, and they were giving the charcoal. That's what that's for. So what? And it's funny because it does actually serve a similar role in this cheese. It does serve to lower the acid level, neutralize some of that acid. Which, if we were going to mature this cheese and have mold land on it, do things, we would want to sort of temper that acid a little bit. Smell. You guys smell that? Doesn't smell like anything.
Wonder Bread.
All right. Yeah, a little bit yeasty. I get a little Venice quality, but like it's really not that smelly compared to the cheese we're going to smell. My piece actually smells like the brewery, which means and I'm not sure that that's about smelling. Yeah. But this cheese is a fresh cheese. There's not a lot of like enzymatic breakdown. There's not a lot of proteolysis, which is a fancy way of saying protein breakdown. There's not a lot of lipolysis, which is a fancy way of saying fat breakdown. And those are the things that are going to generate a lot of those flavor compounds. We're basically letting bacteria and molds pre-digest our cheese. Delicious. None of that's really happened. It's a fresh cheese that you consume fresh. Break it apart with your fingers. You know, there might be an aural component here, but I didn't hear it. This gives you a sense of sort of what the texture is really. And what you're doing right now, by the way, I fooled you all. You're actually warming the cheese a little bit, which will help you sort of get more on the palate when you decide to eat it, which looks really kind of fun. Okay, so yeah, I'm not going to tell you how to eat. But put it in your mouth and sort of chew it up, taste it.
Enthusiasm.
What are the words that are leaping to mind here? Creamy. What else? What was that?
Tangy.
Tangy, absolutely. Acid, tart. Yeah. What else?
Salty.
Yep, it's definitely like pretty pronounced salt. Anything else? Any kind of fruit? Any citrus fruit? I get that acid definitely presents as like, you get a little bit of that lactic acid. It's certainly like very sort of tart in a pinky sort of way, but it's also a little bit of like lemon lime kind of action going on there. I've heard people talk about like grape, like grapey tart, like green table grapes. This is actually a lactic set. So they're only using lactic acid to set this cheese. So I lied to you. the other cheeses are all going to be rennet-based cheeses. But yeah, this one is a lactic set. So you can Just like you're going to leave, if you leave milk on your counter overnight and it's chunky in the morning, which is awesome. we love that in the cheese biz. That's a lactic set. Basically, you've allowed the milk, the lactic acid that are in the air, in your fridge, in your milk, to flourish at warmer temperatures. They've created all this lactic acid, which actually sour the milk. Same by adding vinegar to milk or lemon juice. You're going to get the pumpkin. Do we like it? Do we not like it? What do we think? I need some sriracha.
Okay, so let me tell you what that cheese is.
That's going to be Rainbow Ridge Meridian. And you guys are probably going to eat the last bit for a little while. So Lisa Schwartz, who's the cheesemaker, her husband got a job in Beijing. So she's leaving. So this is damn near the end of the cheese, which is super bummer. So Lisa's great. She's mean. And... pretty sassy, but we get along well, which is good. And she has a little farm up in Bedford Hill. It's in Westchester, and it's all goats, all great little Nubian Alpine Saman goats. All her goats have female recording artists. Like, all her does are all named after female recording artists. So there's Rihanna, and there's Reba. And Ilea, and like they've all of these, they all have, yeah, that's her thing.
Can I go for Streisand?
Yep, probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Excellent.
You know, they definitely turn over pretty quick. Goats don't last that long. I don't know. That would be amazing. They're not sheep though, so. There's definitely a Lady Gaga goat though.
Oh,
Anyway, that's her way of just sort of entertaining herself. But she's a tremendous cheese maker. Makes a really great, like, this is not a complicated cheese, but it's a hard cheese to nail. Most of these cheeses are, you know, fresh goat cheese, you buy them in a log at a store, it's vacuum sealed, it is utterly uninteresting, I've never put it on a cheese plate. This, you've got those great tart, fruity characteristics, and it's awesome with this beer. Yeah. I'll put you guys in touch via email later. I mentioned she was mean, right? Alright. That is amazing. So let's try with the beer. When we do the beer thing, you probably know these beers better than I do. You've all, I'm sure, had all of them. Like I said, we'll talk a little bit about them. So this is Sriracha Ace. I did this pairing with Garrett like a year ago or something at the Natural History Museum thing. And he wanted to do something like another goat cheese that I don't like as much. And he's afraid of change. I said, just let me try it out on you. And it worked amazing. It was really good. And it was a winner, so I don't think he ever went back to it. But it's still really good. It's a really great pairing. So when we're doing pairings, we're going to do this as an exercise again. Not what I want you to do at home. Not the point at all. The point is to eat good food and drink good alcohol. Get drunk and bold. So have a sip of beer.
Do I need to talk about Sriracha Ace, or do we all know what we're dealing with here? Okay. Have a bit of cheese,
mix it up, gargle, not with your mouth open, because that would be gross. This is Rainbow Ridge and Rainbow BEAU, Meridian, and Meridian refers to the line in the middle. Now, what I like about this pairing, what my goal was here, and I think each of these pairings will sort of do a different thing that is important when talking about flavor. What the cheese does to me is reach into Sriracha Ace, which is already a pretty unusual beer with the Sriracha Ace hops, and those hops have a very distinct flavor profile that borders on lemongrass and kiwi and some of those great sort of tropical, but not papaya or anything like that, but lemongrass, I think, is what it really does. That's the predominant, the basil, like Thai basil kind of thing going on. What this cheese does, I don't know that the beer does a ton for the cheese. It does, I think, moderate the salt, moderate the tastiness of it, and make it nice and tart and clean and crisp. But the cheese, to me, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like reaches into the sriracha ace and turns up some of those tropical lemongrass and particularly the Thai basil notes. I feel like those are in the beer. They're definitely in the beer, and if you're working on it, you can taste them. But the cheese, I think, really does a great job at dropping off some of the sweetness, some of that residual sugar, some of the booze, although the booze is still in there and it's pretty hot. And turns up, yeah, those really great, like, phenolic qualities. Yeah? No? Yes? So this is an unusual pairing. It's hard to do. When we're talking about pairings, sometimes you put two things together and it fizzles. The cheese stays the cheese. The beer stays the beer. Nobody's unhappy or happy for it. And you're like, oh, dude, that. Sometimes it's better and the beer is improved. I think this is one of those pairings where the beer is markedly sort of changed. Maybe not improved. It's a great beer on its own, but certainly gives you a sense, gives you a window into what's going on there that you didn't have without the cheese. Sometimes the cheese improved, the beer is left to be. Sometimes they're both, sometimes, and very rarely, and I hope at least once on this plate, both beer and cheese will come together and make more than some of this part. Beautiful thing, it's a perfect pairing. We know the perfect pairings, like Stilton Port, Chateau DPM, and Roquefort, and who could afford either of those things? but though, you know, they're immortalized. We're looking for something. They work. Those two work. But we're looking for something that elevates both of them. They're more than the sum of its parts, I think, is the best I can say about that. Conversely, sometimes, and I hope we're not going to hit that too much, you get the other side of the house, which is where the cheese is shittier before the pairing, or the beer is, or God forbid, they both suck. And you've ruined everything in your mouth. It does happen. You know, this cheese with local 2 would be awful. And save a little cheese and save a little local 2. We'll do it later. It'll be fun. but yeah, this is probably, and honestly, this is the hardest pairing to do. This is the hardest thing, the thing that occurs most infrequently, where something reaches into something else, pulls out something that you knew was there, but you couldn't quite see, and shows it to you in a different light. Something that's really nice. The rest of the pairings, I think, are going to definitely focus on the more complementing flavors and contrasting flavors. But this is one that I loved. So, yeah. Oh, and cheers. Thanks for coming.
Cheers.
Makayam. All right. I've exhausted more time than I was supposed to. All right, going clockwise. Is that clockwise? Yeah, clockwise. Pick up your cheese. Yeah, to the right. Smell your cheese. What do you guys smell? Wait, what did you say? I think that's 100% right and utterly bizarre. but no, I mean, it smells...
It's a smell, not taste.
You're getting a little pissed.
I think fish food.
Fish food. What did we say earlier?
Fish food is 100% exactly fish. It's the point.
You're absolutely right. That's a great get. You win. so when we talk about Oso Arati, which is this cheese, who knows what Oso Arati is, aside from the cheese?
No.
A region.
It's a mountain range.
In southern France and northern Spain. This comes from the Basque region of Spain and France. And basically, the Basque region is where you drew a triangle between Bern in southern France, went down to Bilbao, and over to San Sebastian, came up, you get this little triangle area that encompasses some of the Pyrenees and the Oso Arati range in the Pyrenees. And that's where this cheese comes from. It's an Alpine style cheese. Means the sheep are grazed up hills and back down here. And the cheese is made at altitude. And so, yeah, it's sheep smells. It's a sheep smell cheese.
It definitely, it's aged. So this cheese is probably aged about 13 months. Pasteurized sheep's milk. But it definitely will gain that funky. I think hamster was not far off. And really dirty hamster cage. If you're getting some of that cedar chips.
Cedar chips
mixed with hamster bits. And these are, we're not making judgments.
To be honest.
I'm buying much of
this. Calling a spade a spade. Fish food is 100%. Sometimes when these wheels come in, it really does vary. It varies seasonally. And these are going to be summer wheels from a year ago. And it also varies from wheel to wheel. What's that?
Not hamster wheels.
Not hamster wheels, no. About the same size, though. That's good. I like that. But yeah, it definitely gives that fishy quality. Sometimes it comes in less fish food and really markedly anchovy saline. Other times it's more of that like dry fermented fish kind of thing. So yeah. Did we taste it yet?
Yeah.
Excellent question. Is the rind something you're supposed to eat? You pay for it, you might as well be in the world.
Yes.
If it's not going to kill you, if it's not cloth, wax, or foil, it's not going to kill you. There is a cloth bound cheese on the plate. I think I took off the cloth, but you know. Less TV horns. If it's not cloth, wax, and foil, give it a whirl. I tried, and I couldn't do this in the case of the cloth-bound cheddar just because of the way of the piece that I got. But when you're presenting a cheese, I try to give you a piece of rind. I want to give you all basically the same piece of cheese. Something that mirrors or gives you some sense of how the cheese looked as a whole form. So that you can make the decision yourself about whether you want to eat the rind or whether you don't want to eat the rind. I definitely would encourage you to try it. And if you like it, it's great. More cheese for you. It does add something different. The rind is going to be mustier. The rind is going to add a little bit more of that hamster cagey funk to it. Speaking of funk, do you all get the gamey qualities of that cheese? It's less offensive than I think maybe the smell might be to some of you. But it's definitely there. That's sheep smell. So, unfortunately, we don't say... Probably use the word goaty for goat cheese, or sheepy for sheep cheese, or buffalo even for buffalo cheese. Nobody says cowy, so I feel like cows, you know, I feel like they lose out on that. But I guess cowy is cheesy, it tastes like cheese. But that sheepiness, I've heard it compared to like a wet wool sweater on a cold day. That seems to be overly romantic. It's funky. It's very sheepy. It tastes like sheep's milk. It smells like a wet sheep. If you've ever been on a sheep farm or been near a wet sheep, or you know, in a cedar chest, like definitely like a cedar chest in your grandma's basement kind of thing with like old sweaters and mothballs. There's that like that funky, gamey quality. This has less of this, but like you can get it from grilled lamb fat. Lamb. Peppery? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And what that comes from is lanolin. And I think lanolin we're used to in like skin, somebody's blowing away at it. Like skin products, people have lanolin. That's all like deodorized lanolin. Because it's a great fat, and if it were warmer in here, it's actually quite cool in here. But if it were warmer in here, that cheese on your plate would be glistening fat. And that would be a dead ringer for it being sheep's milk cheese. Just like the white from the goat's milk cheese. So let's try it. Sorry. No, not at all. Good question. This cheese takes 13 months. The ghost cheese is probably just on the order of 30 days or less. I mean, it's more likely about 20 to 14 days. So yeah, this is definitely a big difference.
Is that general to the goat cheese, sheep cheese, or just the ones that taste like?
Just the ones we're tasting now. Aging has is a function not of milk type, but of style, for the most part. So you can have a very aged buffalo cheese, you could have a very fresh cow's cheese. It has to do with the cheesemaker's decision as to what they want the cheese to be. One thing I will say is that younger cheeses tend to be higher in moisture, A, because They haven't had time to dry out in the air. As the cheese will age, it will dry out. And you can see on your the cheddar guy on, which will be at 9 o'clock, you can see a sort of color variation towards the rind. You can't, but you can. Anybody that has a rind on it can see that color variation, how it gets browner towards the rind. That's a function of oxidation and drying out over time. Yeah, exactly. It does have more fat. It's the fattiest. Well, buffalo is fatty, but sheep is quite fatty, which is awesome. But it's gamier. It does that lanolin, that the lanolin fat in sheep's milk tends to just make it gamier. Now, this is actually a pairing that like is not one that I would have come up with, but I did a class with Mr. O a couple of years ago, and it works. It works. I think this brings out cherry notes in the beer. I think it definitely tempers some of that intense gaminess and funk. It takes away the fish quality. I get a little licorice thing going on there, too. I think this is a good pairing where it's not a perfect pairing. I don't think you're getting something that's worth some of its parts, but I do think that it flatters both the cheese and the beer. What do you guys think? Who liked the first pairing better? Who liked the second pairing better? Okay, good. Who liked the first cheese better? Who liked the second cheese better? Interesting. Good. That means we're making this is chemistry. We're doing something interesting.
All right.
I'm going to move it along, lest I get the hook. What? No. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna move it along because I don't wanna outstay my welcome, which will happen. That's my friends. This is a cheese that none of you have had before. I would venture to say none of you. I don't think you've had it either. So this is Appenzeller. Who's had Appenzeller before? Raise your hand. Anybody? Appenzeller, sure. This is Appenzeller Kasai zu Fischspiel. I am not pronouncing that right in any way. Have you ever heard Swiss German? It's difficult, yes. There are a lot of umlauts and O's and E's and things. So this is an Appenzeller from a producer that we work with on a different cheese entirely. His name is Walter Ross. He's a super nice guy. He was in New York City a few months ago, and the whole time he was in New York, he wore his traditional St. Gallen Canton Swiss like cheesemaker garb. He looked ridiculous. Ridiculous. You can walk out. I mean, he's like a really handsome cut guy. He's like hauling cheese, all heaving cheese all throughout the cave. So he's fucking ripped. But he's wearing this ridiculous, like, colorful vest, and he's like, "Hello, my name is Walter Ross. How are you? You like my cheese?" And it's like, unbelievable. Super nice guy, though, and an amazing cheese maker. Yeah. Now, Switzerland has this weird cheese culture where, until recently, all the Swiss cheeses that were made in Switzerland were, like, one of eight cheeses. Nobody made, like, Meridian or something, you know, some other cool cheese. They all made what the Swiss government told them to make, which was... So for the G, Gruyere, yep, Emmentaler, Appenzeller, Tilsiter, Raclette, all those cheeses, all the cheeses that you know. But then, fairly recently, the Swiss government relaxed its rules and allowed cheesemakers to make their own cheeses. And Walter's brother imported the first Jersey cows, into Switzerland. And he was like, "Hey, I've got these New Jersey cows. I'm the first guy in Switzerland. I want to make yogurt out of them. But maybe you can try and make Appenzeller, see how it goes." Because up until that point, Walter just made Appenzeller. That's what he did. He made a batch of Jersey Appenzeller, which he couldn't sell as Appenzeller because you're not allowed. It has to be from a specific breed of Swiss cows. And he aged it out, and it turned out amazing. So he figured out he could make some variations on cheeses, and he called that Fallerhocker. Again, probably not what it really sounds like. But that means cellar sitter. It hangs out in the cellar for longer. His Oppenzeller, however, is fantastic. Oppenzeller in this country tends to be pretty commodity. It's all controlled by the Oppenzeller Consortium. And it's very, very sort of monochromatic and uniform. This is something we're bringing just from where he just came in for the first time. It's awesome. Smell, what do you smell? Barnyard. Now, Walter makes his own rent, which means he butchers little baby adorable cows and dries out their stomachs and cuts up the little pieces of the stomach, soaks them in whey, creates like a little whey extract, and that's the rennet he uses. That's a little magic potion that he uses. And that smell, that barnyardy smell, is absolutely, I think, partially a function of that natural animal rennet.
Oh, I'm a vegetarian.
Sorry.
It is
anybody got any little bubbles in there, cheese? Yes? No? So those are called eyes. They're little gas pockets that happen when the cheese is made. Can we taste it yet? How awesome is that cheese? So I think barnyardiness, I think, is a very good description of what we're tasting. Anybody get a little bit of heat or itch or a little bit of like prickliness to it? That's a function of fat breakdown. Basically, as the fats break down, they create these little amino acids and things that prickle your tongue. It's really nice. Anybody get a little like buttery butterscotch, nutty, hazelnut? This is one of those cheeses where people are like, oh, this cheese is nutty, and you're like, everything is nutty, why would Rob be nutty with you? This is a cheese where I'd be like, you guys don't know the same people I do? Everything is like, every cheese is nutty, every cheese they've ever tasted. Not all cheeses are nutty. This cheese is pretty nutty. What does that mean, right? There are more than one kind of nut. What do you guys taste specifically? Yeah, I get walnut as well, like roasted walnut. Maybe a little hazelnut in there as well, like toasted hazelnut. But like, it's not pistachio, right? Like, that's a nut. It's not peanut.
How about cashew nut?
Yeah, I think it has that butteriness, that fattiness of cashew nut. It's not tree nut, or I don't know, maybe it is. I don't know the difference of that. I know Alex. Let's try with the beer.
With a 3.
Local 2 with Oppenzeller. Yeah. So that cheese, what I get out of there, I think is really pretty nifty. Local 2 has a lot of booze, so I think that definitely gets us going. Anybody get cola nut, or like Coca-Cola, or carob, or that kind of thing? I definitely get a lot of cola quality between these two, this pairing. What's that? Yeah, absolutely, a lot of, 100%. So cocoa or chocolate came up here. Carob too, if you ever had like the fake carob chocolate, like vegan chocolate or whatever. I definitely get that as well. I think this is really nice because I think it tames that gaminess, that barnyardiness that's in the cheese. Yeah. That caramel, exactly. And that's what, 100%. What I wanted to do was that residual sugar, that toasted, that burnt sugar quality of the beer, to mix with that that toasted quality of the cheese. Now this cheese is cooked. I don't mean that it's like shit and done, it's dead. Stick a fork in it, it's cooked. It's the curds, when you separate the whey from the curd, that curd is actually cooked. They have a copper vat and they heat the copper vat. The vat that he uses is actually a jacket vat, so the heating is in the vat itself. They're all copper lined, and the copper line, it's not understood exactly why, but the copper lining does have a chemical, sort of serves a chemical purpose to help the cheese curdle better. And that cooked quality, that cooked milk, that butterscotch, that toasted nut thing, that's an obvious synergy with a burnt sugar beer. It really makes a lot of sense. And a cheese this strong wants an alcoholic beer. And Local 2 will get you drunk, it'll do the job. Cool. Who liked the first pairing the best? Now. Who liked the second pairing the best? Who liked the third pairing the best? Me too. Cool. I don't think so. You like it? Can you taste the goat cheese at all?
No, I don't taste it.
Oh, really? All right.
It's actually kind of
expressive. Yeah, I'm kind of worried.
It's like someone stole a family.
For 1 second. So, guys, we have our last pairing coming up, at which point I'm going to begin to pass out these Ichiro stars and the cheeks. How many of you have never seen one of these before? Boy, are you in for a treat. Who needs one of these?
I don't know what it is.
Get one of
these. You are going to go to the bathroom.
That will be the one.
You guys are fine, right? How about over here?
I don't see.
Maya, should I close it out here? All right. Last cheese. We're almost there. We're in the home stretch. Thank you for not corrupting the shit. For my time. Last cheese. Pick it up. Hold it. Comfort it. His name is Kevin. Be nice. This is Kevin's walk-down cheddar. Who buys Cabot at the grocery store? I do. It's great snacky cheese. It's great night cheese, right? Who's with me on that? Night cheese? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. So some of you will have rinded pieces, some of you will not. The piece I had was very long and narrow. I did my best. This is a cloth-bound cheese. I meant to grab a piece of cloth. Actually, did we throw it all away? Can you see if you can grab that piece of... Okay, thank you. So this is the cloth-bound cheddar. Cheddar, right? We all know cheddar. Cheddar's cheddar. Most popular cheese in the U.S. We eat a lot of cheddar. Blah. Cloth-bound cheddar. I say cloth-bound, I like a lie over it so quickly because I'm accustomed to it. A cloth-bound cheddar is literally bound in cloth. There's not really a simpler way of explaining it. You take a cheddar, and so Cabot makes those amazing mass-produced. I love Cabot. Cabot is a cooperative creamery. It's owned... It's farmer-owned. There's about 400 farms that contribute. All the milk is super high quality. They do an amazing job. Perfect. Thank you. Here we go over there. So this is cloth from the piece of cheese that you guys are here. It's that's right. You guys see Jesus in there? I drew that earlier. Full view. So cloth-bound cheddar. They make all that great, like, not commodity, industrially made cheddar, like bulk cheddar. Really awesome, great burger cheese. Once or twice a month, they will make a batch of Cabot cloth-bound cheddar. With which they worked with the sellers of Jasper Hill. Anybody ever heard of Jasper Hill cheeses? They make Bailey Hazer Blue, they make Moses Sleeper and Harbison and Winnemere. Great cheeses in Vermont, they're in the Northeast Kingdom. Cabot Cloth Bound is a recipe that they developed with Jasper Hill, that Cabot developed with Jasper Hill. A small batch cheddar, one farm, one make, make a whole bunch of wheels, and then they send those to the sellers, to Jasper Hill. Jasper Hill about 5 years ago, they said, you know what, we want to do some cheese aging. That's what they're doing in Europe. Let's blow up the underneath of our pasture, and they literally dynamite it underneath the cows up top. Underneath are these vaults, these vaulted caves where they're aging cheddar and other cheeses. So they work with Cabot, develop this recipe, they bring it to the cellars, they bind it in cloth, they lard the outside with lard, did I mention there's lard involved? Sometimes it's butter, in this case it's lard, I'm sorry. And they put this cloth on. Now what does the cloth do? Well, it gets moldy. It gets moldy for sure. And if you smell that cloth, don't eat it, please. Indigestible, fibrous. But smell it, you'll smell this musty quality. Right. What that does is it creates this semi-permeable membrane. It allows that cheese to age without cracking, drying out too much, going bad, but also allowing it some interaction, some effect from the outside world, allowing molds, bacteria. You guys get any dust on your hands from that cloth? Those are cheese mites, which are little arachnids. They look like little miniature ticks. They're awesome. Surprise. And what that does is that creates that intense, perfect aging where you get a much different quality. Like, the texture of this is not like your Cabot, your bulk cheese. It's not like that at all. It's allowed to dry out, crystallize, concentrate, become more intense. It's a pretty amazing cheese. Styled after the British cloth-bound cheddars, Montgomery's, Keene's, Westcombe, those guys, Quicks. So, take a bite. What do you think? And you'll note it will taste different closer to the rind.
You say no spicy in the rind, no?
You can, I would say definitely try it. I don't think yours has cloth on it.
No.
So,
it's really garlicky.
Oh, yeah.
Like super garlicky, super olivey. I got earlier, I thought that it tasted like green papaya salad. It has, it's not tart, it's acidic, but not tart in the lemon-lime way. It has something going on, it's not pineapple, I feel like it's something tropical, but really kind of awesome. When we go up to the cellars and we'll pick our own batches, and this was my favorite batch in the last 6 months.
I've had this before, it's a grass.
Yeah, so the question over here was, I've had this before, why does it not taste like what I've had before? That's a synopsis. It's a great question. This is a cheese that's going to get made once or twice a month, and it's handmade. And the cows are going to be eating different feed. The conditions in the aging room are going to be slightly different. And the way that they make varies is the acidification curve. Is the acidity going to be a little sharper, a little milder? Where is it in the cave? What are the cows eating? With their slight temperature variation. All that's going to have an effect on it. It's a very handmade artisan product. And I don't throw the word artisan around my head. It's a stupid word, but this is definitely something that's handmade and subject to these really great subtle variations. Yeah.
You know what, like this cheese and
crystals. Where do the awesome flavor crystals come from? Patent pending Cineverse is all I'm going to say.
those crystals are, they're crystallized.
So amino acids, primarily tyrosine, but also other amino acids, which are broken down proteins, which happen. I talked about proteolysis earlier, protein breakdown. In the context of high concentrations of salt, some of those amino acids will form crystals, a la Cineverse. And that's what you're tasting. No way to predict when that'll happen. It really is a function of individual cheese. I get a lot of people that come and say, why can you give me more cheese with all the flavor crystals? It's so good. Crunchy and cinnamon. And I can't do it anymore. It tends to, but it depends on the age. It definitely comes with age because with more age comes with more protein breakdown. But you never know. You could have a 15-month Gruyere. An 18-month beer that has nothing. This cheddar is aged about 15 months. We buy it at 11 and then we finish it off the case.
At what point does it stop aging? So, like, I have a 15-month cheese.
Did you eat it?
It stopped aging when you ate it.
No, I
That's a cynical answer to a very good question. when does it stop aging? When it's ready. I mean, like a good cheesemonger will say, this, it's like wine, and that's a stupid comparison. Or it's like beer. If you guys, I mean, how many of you age beer in your cellars? That's what I figured. When is a beer passed over the hill? Who wants to answer that question? Have you opened up a beer that's over the hill not because it's gone bad and there's been a defect, but because it's just too old?
Yes.
Yeah. Right there.
Some beers age well. We're not going to get into that. There's dogma involved, and I don't want to call. But when a beer or wine is over the hill, it's over the hill. Our job is to taste early and taste often. We plug. We actually pour the cheese and taste, and we say, okay, I feel like this has a couple more months in it. I feel like this is where it needs to be. Or I feel like this is a little bit over the hill. It's time to put it out on the counter and blow it out. Let's get it heat because it's not getting any better and not getting any better. And that's a qualitative decision.
So, like, if
you're
buying a wine,
yeah, oh, absolutely. So, I went up to the cellars. So the question was, can you buy cheese there where you know that it's going to age out nicely? Some cheeses yes, some cheeses no. We have a very good relationship with Jasper Hill. I'll go up there every 3 months and select our batches of Cabin Call Cop Cheddar. I tasted through 15 batches for this one, or maybe even 19 batches. And this one stuck out to me far and away as a batch that would age well. And I'm really happy with this. This is actually the batch they submitted to the American Cheese Society Conference. It didn't win, so what do I know? But I'm happy with where it's at right now, and I really like what it's doing. So with this beer, with Blast, I think we probably all had Blast before. Now, cheddar and IPA, cheddar and imperial IPA, whatever you want to call it, it's a thing. I don't want to get into it. But the mustiness, the intense citrus flavors of this cheese, with the sort of balanced citrus flavors of the beer and the booze, this is a cheese that's got intense salt. It's pretty potent, right? It's a strong flavor cheese. You couldn't do this with your Cabot, your Huntsman, your Hunter's Plaid cheddar that you've got in your fridge. What do you think? Yes. Get this, I think that's great. The cheese is salty on its own. It's a little zingy, right? Like, particularly because we've been drinking a lot of relatively sweet beers and eating a lot of relatively sweet cheese, honestly, except for the first one. And I think this is quite savory and very, like, garlic and chicken soup I got over there, which is dead on. And this one is the sweetness, and the hops in there, particularly the British style, the more dry structural hops, dry, but like some really nice structure to this beer. And I think the lemon lime qualities with the pininess and the hops are really nice too. I think I probably still prefer the last pairing, but I think for cheddar and beer, which is honestly is a hard pairing. People think cheddar and beer goes super well. It doesn't. It really is hard. The cheddar is hard because it's acid, it's salt, it's intense, it's sharp. It's a tricky cheese with beer. I mean, it tastes good, it's noshable, but it's not a great pairing. It's a technical term. So, last pairing. First pairing, favorite. Second pairing, favorite. Third pairing, favorite. Fourth pairing, favorite. That's pretty even. I'm done, I guess. Thank you. just got our beer license.
And I'm the beer buyer, surprise.
And we have a sick beer selection, so come check it out. It's like my own stash if somebody else would buy it. What's that? No, we got like the cheese bar 5 doors down, and we've got great beer on tap there and a ton of great beer in bottle. At the shop, we have, it's fun. So it's definitely, it's dirty, it's super nerdy, because... Guilty. But it's good, so come check it out. And thank you. If you have any questions, ask me, shoot me an email.